Welcome back to Peach State Prospects, your go-to podcast for everything happening down on the farm in Braves country. I'm your host, Gaurav, alongside Garrett and Matt. And today we're shining a spotlight on the best of the best, the top performers across each level of the Braves minor league system. From the Dominican Summer League all the way up to Gwinnett, we've been tracking who's heating up, who's breaking out, and who's forcing their way into the big league conversation. So go ahead and grab your scorebooks and let's dive into this first half season standouts in the Braves pipeline. Matt, I'm going to go to you first here. We're going to start with the AAA Gwinnett Stripers. Do you believe in the considerable mechanical changes that Hurston Waldrop has made, and can you see him have success in the majors?
I do believe in the changes that he's made. I mean, the success that he's had over the last few weeks really speaks for itself there. As for the success in the majors, I think he'll be successful, but I'm still not 100% sure it will be as a starter, which is partially him and partially all of the other young pitchers that are close to the big leagues and or still to come in the lower minors that also have potential. I think with both what he actually has, I think he's one of the higher upside relief arms as well, and the questions that he would have as a starter, because I still don't fully buy the command and the third pitch yet. So I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like he would make the best late inning reliever out of all of those arms that are still currently in starting roles.
Interesting take, Garrett. To add on to that, the main adjustment that Hurston has made, of course, is in his overall delivery, where he's a lot more, you know, centered and not falling off the mound after each pitch. I want to kind of hear from you. We've seen the data, and the data suggests that his release point seems to be hitting its stride, and you can't really decipher between his three pitch mix, as well as that added cutter into his, as well as the cutter that he's added into his overall, you know, arsenal. What about you? Do you consider the changes substantial enough for Hurston to regain some of that prospect strength that he had earlier?
Yeah, I think the release point consistency is really something that stood out. That's genuine progress that he's made in terms of saying, okay, maybe the command goes from unplayable to good enough to fit him into a back end role. I'm kind of like Matt, where I question if he sticks as a starter, and I really don't think he's ever going to have the command to be more than a back end type of guy. But I think that looking into next year, there's going to be rotation spots. There's going to be opportunities for him. I think going into next year, he's going to get a chance to prove himself. I think he's probably one of their better back end options right now, but there are obviously a lot of injuries to deal with. I just don't think, I am skeptical about him going forward. Like Matt, I'm not convinced that his fastball misses enough bats. I'm not really convinced that his slider is going to miss a lot of bats at the major league level. And, you know, his profile, there's only so many changeups you can actually throw and then still be successful against major league hitters. Most guys, even guys with great changeups, are limited to 30-35% changeup. And you have to figure out the other six, two-thirds of the time. Waldrop's done a good job. He's added more horizontal movement on his fastball. Obviously, he has added the cutter. The slider, they've changed it to where it's a little bit – the shape is, you know, close. It has similar – vertical movement to his changeup, so it's very hard to distinguish those two pitches out of the hand other than spin. So there's definitely good changes there. He's a ton better than the pitcher that he was last time. You know, last time we all said he is not ready, he is not going to be good. Unsurprisingly, he wasn't. I think at this point I would say he is in a better position. I don't, because the command, even with the changes, hasn't made enough strides. I don't think that he has that ceiling of a mid-rotation starter anymore. So the question is he more valuable as a fifth, you know, maybe a higher end fifth starter, or is he more valuable in the bullpen? I think with what the Braves have in terms of depth, you may say bullpen, but we've seen with the injuries that depth can go away quickly. So it may be better to stash him as a starter.
You bring up a really intriguing point there with, you know, just overall the facts behind pitcher health and especially starting pitcher health, and kind of alongside that, Garrett, I'm going to go back to you on this. With Hurston, you have quite a few high upside arms in Gwinnett. You have Didier Fuentes, Blake Burkhalter, J.R. Richey. What about each one of them really sticks out to you? And do you believe that they each have the talent to not only be, but also have success in the majors?
I think all of them definitely have the success to be major league pitchers. I think all three of them have questions. All three of them are players that I rank highly and have rated highly since fairly early on. Richie has been fantastic. I think he's a major league starter next year. He's probably, in terms of the guys that have not debuted yet, he's number one on my list. I had him third on my personal top 30 list. He's a great pitcher. I think he's going to end up as a mid-rotation guy if the velocity takes another step forward, or one of his other pitches takes another step forward. He could even be more than that, but right now he's a guy that I think is going to be part of that rotation for a long time. Fuentes needs more work. The command has been good. The fastball's taken a step forward. Sliders, the sweeper is great. They're not using the changeup very much right now. I think that's kind of his hurdle to getting back to the major league level next season. But he's so young. He was number one on my list. I think that he has the highest upside of the guys, in the top half of the system, double A, triple A. So that's kind of the guy that I look at and I say, it's going to take a tiny bit more time. Really got to get him working on that splitter more often. But the splitter, he has a good feel for it. I really think he's going to be a pitcher that succeeds in the major leagues for a long time. Burkhalter, the pitch mix is great. My criticism, I think that he needs, it's a very vertical profile. I think that adding a sweeper that to kind of vary his pitches a little bit would help him. But I know, he struggled a bit with the sweeper last year at times, kind of earlier this season. So it seems that they've kind of dropped that pitch from his arsenal. His command is a little bit better this year. His stuff has been solid, but he's moving to the bullpen. He had a trouble maintaining his velocity and has had trouble maintaining his velocity towards the end of the year. So I think that's really what you'll have to look at next season is he going to be able to pitch a full season, stay healthy, be able to still throw mid-90s, into August, into September? If he can't, he ends up as a bullpen arm. I think he has a deep enough arsenal to start. He may just be a guy that doesn't really have the durability to start. He didn't do it in college. So it wouldn't be a surprise. Everybody thought he would end up in the bullpen as a amateur, and if he goes to the bullpen, the fastball cutter slider combo is ridiculous, and his changeup is very good too. He's a guy that could be an immediate bullpen, an immediate impact arm out of the bullpen, or if you give him a little bit more time, third, fourth type starter. He's solid, but I definitely want to see him answer the question of how well his velocity is actually going to play as a starter over a full season.
There's definitely some excellent points that you bring up. Even when Blake was drafted, I remember we were all talking about how he does have that reliever risk and how we thought he was going to be a reliever just because he doesn't have, that track record in college. So it will be interesting to see. Obviously, like Garrett said, he's been transitioning to the bullpen as he's hit a career high in innings, I believe around 82 to 84. That's not going to cut it in the majors, just point blank. So next year is going to be a critical year for Blake to see kind of what role his future has. Regardless of what role it is, he's got the pitch mix, like Garrett said, for success, whether it be in the rotation or in the bullpen. And like you, Quintus is probably, I think he's got the highest upside, but J.R. Richey's got that incredibly high floor just because of his ability to really command all of the pitch, all of his pitches. And like you said, if one of them takes that forward step, we got something really interesting in front of us. Matt, same question to you. Is there anything else that really sticks out to you, or is there anything different that sticks out to you with those three big arms? And what are your overall thoughts on their future?
Well, I would actually argue, I think Richie has the highest upside of the group. With what he has, I think that's partially because I do see something more coming from him. A big fan of his since even before he was drafted. I just feel like there's still a little bit more in the tank for him to get out. He's still young, and with the time that he missed, he really has not thrown a ton of minor league innings yet overall in his career. So just an maybe another year or so, we can finally start to see a little bit more come out of that arm, really take a step forward. But even if that does happen, it's not like the Fuentes upside isn't very close. I'm a big fan of him. Didn't really think he was ready, especially after that Miami start, even if the numbers were good. Just the secondary numbers just screamed that a better lineup would really hit him. I don't really understand why they continued to start him instead of sending him back down and avoid letting him take that confidence boost. But that start he had over the weekend in Gwinnett definitely was a good sign that it didn't completely shatter his confidence, which is always something that you worry about with a young arm when they just get shelled like that at the big league level. But I agree on him. I agree on Burkhalter. But yeah, I do think he's a reliever based on the fact that he's about to turn 25. The issues that he's had, he's already at 84 innings this year, which is a career high by 12. I just don't see at this point where it's going to be easy to stretch out, prove durability, prove that you can hold the velocity like that. I mean, when you have that many other arms, including some of the arms that we haven't yet talked about, it just makes sense instead of pushing a guy to the point you might end up getting him hurt again.
That's a great point. And just for reference, J.R. Richey through 4 seasons has 169 innings. So you're talking about less than a single season in the majors. So there's still a lot. And let's also throw in his age. He's still also extremely young at 22. So still a lot of time to really tell. And like Matt said, lots of projection with him on that kind of on that level. Like let's switch over to the bullpen, because the bullpen for the Stripers has a trio of really intriguing arms. Two especially that could potentially have a major league impact, and that's going to be Hayden Harris, Domingo Gonzalez, who's recently over the past like month or so found his slider shape, which has made me very happy, and of course Giancarlo Lara. Same question, and Matt, let's go to you first. What sticks out to you most about the three of them, and do you think they have enough to succeed in the majors?
I do. I do. I think, I mean, you look at the Hayden Harris numbers this year. I think that is obviously the most impressive thing of anything, even more than any of their raw stuff. I mean, he's thrown, what, 30 games across the two levels, 0.76 ERA, 0.93 WHIP, 14.0 K per nine. I mean, what he's done, even though he's an slightly older prospect, it's just impressive. Just the way that he is able to use that fastball. Obviously, a lefty reliever, too. Just a very useful profile for the Braves. He's definitely probably my favorite relief prospect outside of Giancarlo Lara, but definitely a big fan of him. And I think he's got to have a long future in the big leagues, especially because he's a lefty, which obviously buys you that many more extra opportunities. Joseph, I mean, that big fastball and the slider that's starting to come around, it's just really another impressive arm, and definitely helps you as the Atlanta team start to think about trading some of these veteran arms at the deadline, because you know you have these three guys that are ready to come up and could help you next year. And they at least, I think Harris should be ready to start the year at the latest at this point. Joseph seems like he's a guy who is going to be ready very soon as well. And then you have Domingo, and just having another solid year as well. Although with him, I do still question if the command is going to be enough at times. But when he's on, he is definitely another guy that could rack up the strikeouts.
Definitely agree. Again, with Domingo, he often loses his slider and then becomes a one-pitch pitcher. And when that happens, he just gets hit hard. So, like you said, it's hard to kind of build a future on, potentially just one pitch. But then when you talk about Hayden Harris, no matter what your arsenal is, when you have those kinds of numbers, like you're doing something right, and you're doing something that's most likely going to succeed in the majors. And there's like no way around it. Those numbers for the entire season have been absolutely phenomenal. And of course, you talk about Ellison Joseph, who's in Columbus right now, dynamic strikeout numbers, walk rate, through the roof right now. I think he's sitting at like 11 or 13 on the season, but like when he's on, he's nearly unhittable. He's like a Lara when he's on, and that's, something special with that fastball slider combination. Garrett, what about you? Of those three, who really sticks out to you the most, and who do you think is going to have the longest professional career in Atlanta or abroad? Not abroad, but anywhere else.
I think Lara is the guy that I look at, and I'm like, that's potentially your closer of the future. The command numbers this year are not good, but he had really major issues with his release point early in the year. Just couldn't figure it out. Very inconsistent. The last five, six, seven-ish outings, he's been fantastic. Very consistent, throwing a lot more strikes, still missing bats. His whiff rates on all of his pitches on both of his pitches at the AAA level are through the roof, 99th, 98th percentile on everything. It's kind of a lost season in Atlanta, so you say, well, maybe you just save the service time, but he's probably ready at this point to get a look at the major league level because AAA hitters cannot hit him. As long as he's throwing strikes, AAA hitters can't hit him. And right now he's throwing strikes. Potential impact arm. The command still has a long way to go, but he was a bit of a later signing for an international guy, so it's not like he's been in the minor leagues for 6, 7 years. It's only been, what, three really full seasons for him. So there's just, it's going to take time. He's made a lot of progress. I've really been impressed with his progress this season. He's done a great work. I think he's going to be a guy that sticks in the major league bullpen for a long time. His role is going to be determined by that command, but he's been so much better lately. Harris, the big change for him is that his sweeper has improved this year. Last year, it was abysmal in AAA. Earlier in his time there, he got away with it. He was commanding his fastball well enough that he kind of got away with it. He got shelled at the end of the year. So far this year, the command numbers haven't quite been what you want them to be for him. He's walked a few too many guys, but he really has one or two starts that have ballooned his walk rate. But the sweeper is missing. Like the whiff rate on his sweeper last year was like 8%, which is unusable. It's this year so far, AAA, it's been around 40%. Completely different change. Both small samples, but even the shape, the consistency of it, the velocity. Completely different pitch, much, much better. I think that having a legitimate second pitch makes him a more effective weapon. And I think he's a major league reliever next year. Same situation. I think he'll be a major league reliever this next year. I thought he was going to be one this year. Just there really hasn't been the need for it. Gonzalez, kind of interesting because he struggled so much to start the year. He's been a lot better lately. He's already on the 40-man roster, that helps, but I think that he's a guy that's really at risk of dropping off just because he struggled so much at AAA this year. And now, this was like his opportunity, right? There were injuries, Lara, Harris, those guys weren't ready yet. Now those guys are ready. I think those guys are just better pitchers. Listen, Joseph is coming up. He has a higher ceiling. So, even Blake Burkhalter. So he really missed an opportunity this year to get to the major league level and prove himself. I do still think that the fastball slider combination is good enough to be a mid relief type pitcher. I never really saw him as a late inning reliever, but I do still think that it's not there's no major. It's not like this is a result that his stuff just fell through the floor and he's terrible now. It's the same pitch mix. He's struggled this year, and I think he's going to be fine. But I just it sucks for him that he really didn't take the opportunity that was in front of him.
Yeah, you bring up a lot of interesting points, and for someone like Blake Burkhalter, so let's go back to him real quick. He's on the Rule Five. He's Rule Five eligible, so he's someone that you need to add to your 40 man. Domingo, I tend to agree with you. He has a major league talent, but it might not be in Atlanta. And like you said, this year was a really difficult one for him not to have that kind of success that he had last year, especially that rough start he got off to. But if we go back to Lara real quick, if you guys have ever used, or anyone listening has ever used, Prospect Savant, fantastic page, but just an example of how dominant he's been of late since getting to Gwinnett, he's 99th or he's 96th percentile in expected batting average, 95th 95th percentile in expected slugging, 95th percentile in strikeout percentage, 97th percentile in whiff percentage. But Garrett and I, we've talked about Lara a ton. Garrett has digged into the data when it comes to Lara, and his overall advanced stats paint the picture of someone that is unbelievably dominant in a major league role as soon as he's able to find consistency. And you're talking about a slider that essentially is never hit, except for I think one time, and of course it was a home run. I remember it was like 2 weeks ago. That was like the first real hit off of his slider. But outside of that, it's been an absolutely dominant pitch. And then he backs it up with 101 and 102, which just is incredible. And kind of unfortunately switching gears now, we talk about the position players for the Gwinnett Stripers. There's, Luke Waddell kind of leads the charge there. Carlos Rodriguez, we're talking about a bunch of players that are 700 OPS or below. But I mean, Luke Waddell, since coming back from injury, has hit the ball well with close to a 300 batting average. He's getting on base. He's just not hitting for much power, but he's got a 751 OPS. Kind of the same with Carlos Rodriguez, who gets on base at a decent clip, hits the ball. He's got a good, really good contact tool, but not gonna be getting many doubles and driving the ball into the gap. He's much more of a contact first player. Matt, let's hear from you first. Let's hear from you first. Do you believe either one of them can really contribute on the major league side? And if not, is there anyone else on that Gwinnett Stripers overall list or roster that sticks out to you position wise?
I think both of those guys might have some small chance. Obviously, we're talking a lower end 26th man type of utility role. Just that pure lack of power is what's going to hold them back, because if you're not going to have power, you're going to have to be a Luis Arraez and to actually have any kind of a bigger role. And while these guys have good hit tools, they aren't quite that level of elite as hitters, so I just don't think that there's enough in the tank for either of them to be anything more than a utility guy at the back end of the roster, and really that's it for hitters on the Gwinnett side.
Here, what about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think that Rodriguez, I would have called him up instead of Kelenic. I understand Kelenic has been hitting the ball better lately. I think Rodriguez has earned that position based on his overall workload this year. He has speed, defensive versatility, a guy that could fit as a fifth outfielder. Just none of these guys make impact at a level where you look at it and you say, okay, yeah, that's a guy you can start even on a bad team. Like these guys can't even start on bad teams. Very useful type of players, fill out rosters at the AAA level, can come up and fill in spots and give you good at bats out of off the bench, but I just don't see it. There's really no hitting talent at the upper levels. Nacho Alvarez hasn't played much this year. He's been okay. It's very clear he's not. Alvarez hasn't had the time to. With as much time as he's missed, he just hasn't adjusted yet. He just doesn't have his feel and his timing down at this point. So unfortunately, you're not seeing him make that step in terms of hitting the ball hard, which Alvarez is a guy that this was going to be a critical year for him, and unfortunately, and he would have had opportunities. It's just he really hasn't been on the field.
That's like especially difficult, is this was like the year for Nacho, with the struggles from Ozzie, the lack of production offensively from the shortstop position, although Nick Allen's been dynamic defensively. Like this was his chance really to assert himself. And especially even when Austin Riley was out with for injury, right? Those are three positions that Nacho is capable of playing, but he got hurt himself. He hasn't produced at that kind of level, and that's, rather disappointing. So that's we probably should have started with position players first, because it's kind of hard to segue and stay confident, but we kind of move on down to the Clingstones. And a lot like Gwinnett, they're built similarly. At 38 and 56, they've struggled this season in their first year. Landon Harper, Ian Mejia are a couple of the pitching of a couple starting pitchers that have really, or pitchers, so let's just say, because Landon's played a bunch of different roles that have done pretty well this year, as well as Roldy Muniz, who was in Gwinnett, now is back with the Kling Stones, Brett Sears, Ellison Joseph that we just talked about, and then Lucas Braun. There's some of the higher end, let's say higher end achieving talent with the Kling Stones. But Garrett, let's hear from you first. Who has really stuck out to you from that Kling Stones roster and why? And then on top of that, does that player have that major league upside in them?
Yeah, I mean, all the guys that really stood out have been pushed to AAA at this point. Braun really struggled to start the year. There were, they're kind of workshopping his changeup, adding a cutter in. So there was a lot of work that they were doing with him. His command towards the end of the year just was not as crisp as it was last year. And again, he was a guy that, like, this would have been a year for him. This would have been a great year for him to take off and get to the major league level. He didn't do that. He's looked much, much better lately. I think I'm in the same boat on him. I was kind of down on him at the beginning of the year. His command had taken a step back. Now he's kind of back to the guy he was, a bit more versatile of an arsenal. So I think that he's, again, a back end number five type starter. Solid guy, going to fill out depth. Not a guy with really that high end ceiling. Drew Hackenberg has been awful. Frankly, everything has taken a step back. How much of that is he's been injured, I don't know, but he has not been good this year. Mejia, I think at this point, again, they've done a lot of work, added a splitter, a cutter, but he just does not throw it hard enough and does not miss enough bats to be more than a depth starter. Harper has actually impressed me quite a bit. His slider is solid. His changeup is solid. Again, a guy that could be a depth player, but I think Sears is the guy in terms of their starting rotation that the Braves seem to like. I also think he's a back-end starter. It's kind of a funky profile. He does not throw hard at all, really barely touching 90, but he has such a such a low release angle that it is tough on hitters. He commands the ball well. His last couple of starts have not been good. He gave up five home runs in a start at AAA. Very rough. As these last two starts have been as bad as I have seen him command the ball. But overall, really good changeup, solid enough slider. If he could add a little bit of velocity, it would make a world of difference, especially for his secondaries. He's old enough at this point. That's probably not happening. I think he is what he is. I think the command and the shape of his pitches is good enough, again, to be a back-end starter probably next season. But I think there's high ceiling talent at this point is kind of gone. It's been pushed up to AAA, and Joseph, Ellison Joseph, is a guy that is the only one that I really see being kind of an impact type major leaguer. Again, I think Braun has a bit more ceiling than these guys. Like, best case scenario, maybe he's a number four type starter, could be a solid rotation piece. But Joseph is a guy that, if the command comes, you're looking at a late inning reliever. He took a step back this season, which I was not expecting, because the last three seasons he's gone from unplayable command to bad, but like he's getting outs at the double A level. This year, especially in June he walked something like 15 batters in 9 innings. It was very, very bad. Other than that, his walk rate has been not abysmal, but it's been pretty bad. Lately, last five or six outings, he's been a lot better repeating his mechanics. And as long as he's doing that, he's dominant. And he has the ability to, low release single, high velocity with a really tight slider. That's a guy that can fit in the back end of a bullpen. He's got to make a lot of strides in terms of this command. He's coming up on Rule 5 eligibility soon, but he's a guy that I like, who's made a ton of progress in the past few years. It was a step back this season, but he's looked good lately. If he can finish strong, that's a guy that you even look at a spring training next year and say, hey, go, we're going to give you an opportunity. We know your stuff is good enough. As long as the command is there, we can give you a middle relief role and see what happens.
Do you think Joseph needs to be added to the 40-man to be protected, or do you think that walk rate is enough to scare other clubs from taking him?
Right now, I would say no, you don't have to add him to the 40-man roster. If he just goes off over the last month of the season and is dominant, then the Braves will know that better than I will. If he doesn't, I don't think that he's go I don't think he's going to get taken in the 40 man in the Rule 5 draft. If the Braves think he's going to be taken, they're going to protect him. If he's not going to be taken, they won't. I don't think that there's a chance that the Braves are going to lose him. I think his ceiling is too high. But right now, I would say don't worry about protecting him. That could change. If he continues what he's done over the last 5 or 6 outings, then yes. But I think at this point, you're pretty safe with him.
I definitely agree with you there, Garrett. Matt, let's hear from you. Who from the Kling Stones pitching staff has impressed you the most?
Well, I don't even know where to actually count him. But Brett Sears, I mean, he's pitched literally everywhere this year. I know Triple A, but biggest surprise in the entire system this year. Did not really have any real expectations for him as a cheap senior sign from last year. But even though his stuff is mediocre, just the pitchability on him just screams a guy that has big league potential. Definitely a guy I could see, obviously a very low ceiling, high floor type of guy. Probably maybe a swing man, long reliever, could get some chances to get looks as a fifth starter. But he's the guy I definitely felt like needed to be called out because overall, hitter or pitcher, I think he's the biggest surprise in the system at this point. Especially the fact he's pitched at literally every level now. But Braun is probably my favorite pitcher of the double A group. Bad start, obviously, but he's corrected himself. I've been high on him since he was drafted. Obviously, not the highest upside, but definitely a guy I like that could fill in a role or end up being a valuable piece in a trade, especially next year, as he continues his climb up. Joseph, I mentioned before, big fan of him. Obviously, they can't afford to lose him through the Rule 5, but I also think Ian Mejia has a chance. I don't think he has enough stuff to actually start, but I think with that slider, he might be a good slider heavy reliever. To come out and hopefully force some ground balls since he's not a big bat missing type. But I think they definitely have a good collection of arms there, even if more of the higher upside guys have already been promoted off of the roster at this point.
Pretty big breaking news here. Just get your. I know it's not Atlanta based, but the Phillies just got Duran from the Twins for Nick Abel and Eduardo Tate. So pretty significant trade just happened, and it's a real implication for the Braves because we're talking about the trade deadline coming tomorrow and a bunch of arms sitting in AAA that are very intriguing to us. So it'll be. Tomorrow's going to be a very, very interesting day. But going back to what Matt just said, when it comes to Brett Sears, he's someone that the Braves drafted in 2024 and signed him to a $12,000 signing bonus. Giancarlo Lara, $10,000 signing bonus, both with MLB potential. So some really, really incredible drafting and signing from the Braves when it comes to those two. Matt, I'm going to go back to you. I don't think we're going to be talking too long about this, but offensively for the Kling Stones, there wasn't too much. We've seen development from David McCabe this year, significant development, although he's been up and down. We've seen Ethan Werkinger, take a step forward. What's impressed you the most about those two, and what kind of upside do you see from the two of them? And if you have any initial thoughts from this trade, feel free to let it rip.
My initial thoughts on the trade, I think it's a solid deal for both teams. I mean, the Phillies paid a bit of a price. Twins got a potential catcher of the future and probably a back end starter since Abel is still a pretty decent enough back end piece at this point, no longer the high end guy, but I think it's a solid deal for both sides. As for Werkinger and McCabe, Werkinger's power has definitely impressed. Actually getting to see him hit for the power in the upper levels in the minor leagues. He's still only 23, even though it feels like he's been around quite a bit longer than that. But he has surprised me because I didn't really coming into the year see a big league future for him. And It's hard to see a huge upside because I just don't think that his on base, I mean, he's got a sub 300 OBP at this point, really plays well into any kind of large big league role. But there's definitely enough power that you're going to try to work and improve the plate discipline and approach even further to just continue to get more. And obviously, that's the calling card for McCabe. Both impressed and disappointed in him at the same time this year. Finally, actually getting an extended look in the upper minors. Definitely done a great job of getting on base, just under 380 OBP, but five home runs and what is it, 24 extra base hits over 88 games is just not enough for a guy who realistically is a first baseman DH type more than a third baseman at the big league level. There's more power in there. I know that for sure. It's just his approach does not really tap into it in game. So, not really sure about the big league future. Maybe a bench bat who you might throw out at first and third off the bench, not start him at third, but beyond that. But that's what I've seen out of those two this year.
I tend to agree with your analysis on both of them. Garrett, let's hear from you. Any conflicting thoughts, or do you tend to agree with Matt on your on his evaluation there?
I've been a little bit more impressed with McCabe. I agree, though. He's a first baseman all the way. The defense has improved this year. He's been more consistent, but it's still not good enough. He's not a third baseman. He doesn't have the athleticism to play third base. He put on quite a bit of weight right after he got drafted, and he was already stretched to the position. He's going to play first base DH all the way. That is not great because he, like Matt said, hasn't hit for power. Now, he did have a few weeks ago where it felt like he hit three baseballs in like a four game span right off the top of the wall. There were at least two in a single game that he did that with. And he had a lull kind of end of May into June where he was really bad. Other than that, he has been fantastic. His contact rates have gone back to normal this year. Great ball strike approach in terms of his swing decisions, great swing decisions. And especially lately, he's been hitting the ball hard. I mean, it feels like every game he has at least one ball, a lot of times two or three that he's hitting over 100 miles per hour. He is hitting the ball hard. He's not lifting the ball enough to his pull side right now. That's the biggest question mark for him. But I think the ceiling, as long as the hit tool plays and he lifts the ball a little bit better like he did at the lower levels, I mean, that's a guy that could be. I was kind of digging into kind of guys with similar profiles with his walk rates. With his contact rates, if he's in the 15 to 20 home run range with as hard as he hits the ball, that's a guy that could be a 110, 115 WRC plus type hitter, which isn't great out of a first baseman. That's definitely not a guy that's going to start on a good team. It's obviously, I don't think his future is not in Atlanta. He's not going to start over Matt Olson. I don't think that he could be good enough to get some DH looks, but once you get to DH, 110, 115 is really not ideal, especially on a contending team. But I do think that he's a guy that could be a second division starter if the power really comes around. Maybe he's a little bit better than that. But I think that second division starter, guy that has kind of a solid, quiet career, but gets some starts. Now that's a better case scenario for him. He is older, but there is a history of guys that have done that and been solid contributing guys. Nathaniel Lau is a guy that has had a solid career, kind of a similar profile. A guy who, other than the one year where he really broke out, has just been a solid above average hitter, couple wins of value a year. If you're putting that on a team that's really not contending, you're okay with that. I think that he's kind of that guy. I don't think that the power ceiling right now, just with his launch angle, on the pull side, he does not hit the ball very hard in the air. That's really his limitation as a hitter, but everything else he does well. And I think that he could be a solid MLB starter. It's not going to be in Atlanta. I don't think that the power is going to be good enough for him to crack that lineup with Matt Olson holding down first base for the foreseeable future.
All right, well, 10 out of 10 to both of you. Got no notes and nothing else to add on to that. Yeah, we have seen David McCabe's exit velocity numbers over the past, a few weeks, and he has been consistently at least once a game putting up something over from 100 to like 105, 108. So he's been hitting that ball much harder. But like Garrett said, that launch angle right now is not conducive for, for homers. But it is promising to see some of the adjustments. And overall, it's just health out of Dave McCabe and being able to be available for an entire season. So he's definitely helped his stock a little bit. And he's someone that is going to be, potentially talked about over the next 24 hours as a potential trade partner because or as a trade asset, because like Garrett said, he doesn't really have a home in Atlanta. He's someone that makes sense in a different organization. So how the Braves use him, maybe it's going to be next year, who knows, in terms of trade, but he's someone that has at least redeemed some of his value after a pretty, solid, not incredible, but a solid 2025 campaign. All right, that closes us up for the Columbus Clingstones. Now we head on to over to High A, the Rome Emperors. And Garrett, I'm going to go to you first here. Much like the Clingstones, the Emperors have also struggled quite a bit this season, sitting at 39 and 55. The rotation at least boasts a few prominent names like Luke Senard, Adam Mayer, Eric Hernandez, Garrett Bowman, and Cedric Day Grand Prix. Who out of that, and of course Cedric has only been there for a few starts, but who out of that lot has impressed you the most? And kind of let's not think about sample size just because we have seen a lot of movement, but like out of those, who has impressed you the most and who needs the most work?
I'm out on Meyer. I'll just say that straight up. I'm out on Meyer. I don't think that that's a big league arm. Eric Hernandez, I think he's a bullpen arm. I don't think the command is going to be good enough for him to start. I think the stuff is, the changeup's fringy, but the fastball slider combination is really great. I was hoping to see a little bit more, maybe a step forward in velocity. We haven't seen it. I think he's a mid relief arm. Could maybe get a back end guy because he misses a lot of bats. His whiff rates are in the like 33, 34% range. So that's a guy that's missing a lot of bats. Cedric, it's tough with him because I'm still in the position with him where I think that his slider is by far his best pitch. I think that he's a bullpen arm. The command hasn't been there, but he's also coming off a Tommy John surgery, so I'm not really judging him on that. He's missing a lot more bats this year, and he's looked great as a starter. I just think he's a bullpen arm long term. The other two guys, Bauman and Senard, are the guys that I really look at. Bauman kind of had got off to a little bit of a rough start this year, but there were better underlying numbers there. His command was a little bit off. He saw a velocity increase at the beginning of the year, was struggling to really rein that in, but his slider is better this year. It's still not great. I think it's still fringe average, but it got from the point where I didn't think it was a major league pitch last year. I think it's been a lot better this year. His changeup is still great. He's seen an increase in velocity. Back end starter, there may be a little bit more ceiling there. I just don't think that he spins the ball well enough for me to feel like that slider is ever going to get to kind of above average and see more of a higher end ceiling for him. But I think that this guy, with his command profile, with his pitch mix, a solid all around pitch mix, I think he's a guy that's a major league back end starter. It's a solid pickup. I like him. Don't love him. I'm probably a little bit lower on him than consensus. Senard is, I mean, from the first start he made in Augusta, I think I've been singing his praises. His velocity is already back up to where it was before Tommy John surgery. That's a great sign. If he could add a little bit of velocity, that would make a huge difference in his profile. But the splitter is fantastic. That's the pitch that really impressed me. That's taken a step forward since what we really got to see from him consistently at the college level. Splitter's taken a step forward. His curveball's fantastic. I think that that's a guy, if the velocity comes forward and really takes a step forward, you could even see more of maybe a number two, number three ceiling. But I think that right now, with what he has, he commands the ball at the top of the zone well, a ton of vertical movement on his fastball. With the angle that he throws from, he's so tall that curveball just dives down at hitters. It's hard to see, it's hard to hit. The splitter dives down. That's a great pitch mix. A guy that I think is a 3-4 type starter. It seems like the Braves really like him as well. I'm a big fan of Senard. I had him very high on my personal list, much higher than anybody else did on my personal list. I think that he's one of those players that could be a major contributor to the Braves long term. The Braves have a lot of pitchers, so it's kind of a situation where he's going to be battling for spots even still, but he's one that he's impressed me with the little bit of time he's been on the field this year. Unfortunately, he has faced injuries. That's going to be a question for him still, but I'm a huge fan of him, and I think that he's going to be one of those players that next year takes a step forward, and we're really looking at him getting to potentially getting to the major leagues next year and being a piece of the rotation for a long time.
I think what's impressed me the most about Garrett is he's added, a few miles per hour on his fastball, and he's been able to hold that velocity throughout games, and now throughout the season, he's done a good job of that. And like you said, the spin is a bit of a question. Can he have that third pitch because his changeup is there? It's a big question mark. But at worst, if and that's not going to be anytime soon, if the Braves decide to go that route with him and put him in the bullpen, that is a big arm with a really special breaking pitch. And then when it comes to Cedric, Cedric's been all over the place. 97 with his fastball, got a good two seam fastball moving in as well. But he's been, the walk rate has been horrendous. But again, just off of Tommy John, like you said, Luke Senard is definitely someone that has opened a ton of eyes. And I am like you. Well, I'm not as high on him as you. He has opened a ton of eyes, and he is talked about within the organization. So he's someone that everyone should really be aware of moving into next year. Matt, what about you? Who has impressed you the most from that pitching staff?
It's got to be Senard. I mean, I'd w have been high on him since the draft. I probably would have ranked him as high on my personal list as Garrett if he had just thrown more innings. It's just hard because as of today, he's thrown, what, 11 starts, 47 innings combined over the last 2 years since he sat out last year. So it's kind of hard to let myself be as high on him as I want to be when he's got some remaining health questions after again missing some time this year. So it's not like he just returned and has only been healthy. So I think that held me back on him a little bit. But he does look like a big league arm for sure. A guy that could potentially even be better than a mid rotation starter. I mean, this was it's a kid that was talked about as a potential day one pick heading into last year's draft if he hadn't gotten hurt. So that's obviously showing up so far in the low minors. I think Bauman is definitely improved. I think he's got both a little bit of floor as well as ceiling, lower ceiling. But if he can continue to progress and just to add a little bit more to the fastball. I mean, he is only 20 years old and has spent the entire season in high A, so there is something to work with there. Out on Meyer as well. Kind of see Hernandez as a reliever, maybe a potentially good reliever as a lefty reliever, but I just don't think he's going to have enough command to actually end up starting in the long run. I am interested in seeing a little bit more of Jacob Kroger as he continues more of a number five reliever type of guy, but a guy that's shown enough so far, even though he doesn't miss a ton of bats as he's climbing the ladder, and he's also already 25. Cedric, I think next year is going to be a huge year for him. Obviously, first year back from Tommy John, already going to be 24 next year. So I do think next year is a very, very important year for him.
So I'm going to go right back to you, Matt, because I have nothing to add on to that. When we look at the Kling Stones positional players, it's kind of like Gwinnett. It's kind of like a Columbus. There it hasn't been too much to talk about. Will Verdong, Justin Janis, and to some degree, Embiid Tavares, who's been really up and down, have kind of stood out the most. But in your evaluation of the Rome Emperor's team, who has impressed you the most and why?
Honestly, I think Tavares, I mean, he's improved his on-base ability a little bit, and he's doing it while playing shortstop. I think if he can continue to add some of the power that is there, I mean, remember, it seems like he's been around forever at this point, but he is only 21. So I wouldn't write that off at this point because he was initially when he signed, a guy that a lot of people thought he's probably going to move to third base and have good power. He's now more likely to stick at short, and the power has not really shown up, but he's still only 21. And now that he's actually starting to have a bit of a plan at the plate, putting up an on base of what, 334 right now, I think he's the guy that stands out the most. Verdung has shown great on base ability, but he is a 22-year-old in high A who has 12 extra base hits and no homers. I mean, if you're doing that in high A, as you continue to climb up the ladder to each level, it's kind of scary to imagine what his power would be showing up at, as in Atlanta. One guy that you didn't mention, though, that has actually caught my eye a little bit is Pat Clohizzy, the 11th round pick from last year. He obviously strikes out a little too much. The hit tool has not quite played as well as the Braves hoped when they drafted him as high as they did last year. But I think part of that, too, is the fact that he is coming from a mid-major school. He came from St. Louis. Before that, he was at Purdue. But he's hit almost 250, on base above 330. He's got, what, 21 extra base hits, 59 steals, 45 walks. If he can just improve the hit tool just a little bit, cut down on some of those strikeouts, maybe add a little bit more power, even if it's more gap power than home run power. He's a guy I'm interested in taking another look at again next year.
Great point with Patrick. He's got those 59 stolen bases, only 13 caught stealing, so that puts him somewhere around like 80, 81, 82% success rate, which is, quite solid. Garrett, what about you? Who's kind of stuck out the most to you? And I have a feeling it's going to be Tavares, because again, we're talking about a premium defender at short that's got plus power potential, but the p potential hasn't been there yet. But yeah, Garrett, what about you?
Yeah, so Clohizzy, I like him. He's been better in center field than I thought it was going to be. So he's a guy that I could kind of see as a fifth outfielder. I don't think the power's going to be there for him to start or even really even be a fourth outfielder, but a fifth outfielder, depth type outfielder, especially getting that in a day three pick. It's a pretty solid pickup. Tavares, he started off the year really well. The numbers were trailing, but his contact had improved. He was showing flashes of the power. Obviously, we think that he's a plus defender at shortstop, and it just hasn't been there lately. He's really started to strike out a lot more. The contact rate improvements have basically gone away, and it's tough. It's rough. He's had a better approach at the plate, and that's a great sign for him. He's hit for a little bit more power. Again, he's tough to evaluate because he's missed so much time with injury over the years that you kind of have to be lenient with him, and we know he's working and putting in the work, and we're seeing some of the makings of an MLB player. It's just he swings and misses too much right now, and it's at a rate where you cannot move him up. If he's right now, his contact rate is like 60%, which is unplayable. So if I looked at the numbers. I mean, he was kind of 67, 68% at the beginning of the year, first couple of months of the year. That's with his defense, with his power, 68% is good enough. But where he is right now, he's taken a step back over the last month or so, and it's been pretty rough. He's been streaky throughout his career, so it's very possible that he goes on a run at the end of the year. It hasn't looked great for a while now. Another guy that no one mentioned, Lisandro Espinosa, he's fourth in the system in home runs. He has 10 home runs this year, and he's a smaller guy, but he's really chased impact this year, and he's been hit for some really solid power for them, has played shortstop and center field. I think he's kind of fringy at shortstop, but good enough that that's a versatile kind of utility player who hits the ball really hard despite his size. Okay, contact. His issue is his approach is very bad. His approach is among the worst in the system. They're gonna have to do work with him on that, but I do like the way that he approaches contact. and he's really makes the most out of his power. So I think that that's a guy that's interesting enough to keep getting looks as a potential utility type. He was a minor league Rule 5 draft pick last year out of the Cardinal system. Has kind of stalled out at the lower levels. His contact has taken a step back this year, but I think that that's mostly he chases out of the zone too much. His actual in zone contact is good enough, maybe a 45 grade contact with 45 power, with his ability to play center field, steal bases. That's a good enough bench utility player. It's just he has to improve the approach at this point. But I still think that I would probably have him as a better or kind of right around Clohessy in terms of his prospect status.
Give some context about what Garrett said. Lisandro is standing at 5'7" under 160, so he does maximize the most out of that frame, getting those 10 home runs. But thank you to the two of you, and now we kind of move on to, I would say, what most people are looking forward to, and that's the Augusta Green Jackets and then the number of pro players they have on that roster. We're going to do it a little bit different here, just because the Green Jackets roster, the Green Jackets lineup is, I think you can say 6 to 7 of the Braves' top positional prospects. And then they have a bunch of really talented arms. And Garrett, let's hear from you first. With the majority of the talent in the organization on both sides of the ball, who let's try and for time wise to get to three, but who are your top three pitchers on that entire staff that have impressed you the most, and why, and what kind of upside do you see in each?
The best for sure is Caminiti, Cam Caminiti. He's been everything that he was advertised. The velocity's been a little bit inconsistent, but he was also hurt to start the year, so I'm not particularly worried about that. Command has been great. His slider has actually taken a step forward this year. So overall, there's not really a lot you can say about him. He's better than A-ball hitters, so he's not really proving anything at this point. The Braves are patient with those guys that first year, but he's just better than the hitters at this level. So I had him as my number two guy. I think that trio, Fuentes, Richie, Caminiti, they're all basically indistinguishable as prospects. They're right there beside each other. And I think Caminiti is a guy that next year, as long as he stays healthy, really going to break out. Raven Antonio is the number two guy there. The velo he has taken a huge step forward in his velocity. He's been topping out around 97, 98, sitting mid-90s. That was not the case last year with him. And everything as a result has taken a step forward. He's shown a solid feel for a changeup, fantastic sweeper, commands the ball pretty well. There's a four-seam fastball and a sinker. So he's able to get a lot of ground balls, miss bats in the zone with pitches. Really great pitcher, a guy that kind of maybe a number four type starter if everything hits. I've been really impressed with him. He was a guy that I kind of had on my radar. I did not see this from coming from him. He's been maybe the breakout prospect other than Sears. He's been really the breakout prospect in the system. He's been terrific, and I've been really impressed with him. I think beyond that, at this point, you're looking at potential, but guys that have been hurt and Ethan Bagwell and Jeremy Reyes. Reyes has not been as good as I thought he was going to be this year. The command, he hasn't been on the field. Command hasn't been that great. Hasn't really used his changeup. But I think that he's a guy that has a higher ceiling than some other pitchers in the system. And then Ethan Bagwell, though, is the guy that it really sounds like the Green Jackets themselves are very high on. A lot of work to do with him, but throws strikes very well for his age. He's a guy that I think could add some velocity. It's kind of a blank slate with him where there's a lot of risk there, but I really trust Elvin Nina and the Braves development staff as a whole with pitchers. And I think that with his athletic talent, with his size, that's really a guy that you could look at as one of the higher ceiling prospects in the system. And they kind of have a blank slate to work with. And I'm excited about that moving forward. A little bit more excited about him next year than this year, but he's a guy that it seems like they really like.
I'm definitely with you on the Ethan Bagwell, train right now. He's 19, 6'4", 230. He's got a great pitcher's frame. Just yesterday, he had a really good outing. what was it? Five innings pitch, two run runs, three strikeouts, zero walks. Is like Garrett said, I do see more projection as fastball. He sits in the low to low mid 90s with it, and then has a nice, decent little two seamer with alongside, and then he has a sweeper and changeup. The domination from Cam Caminiti cannot be understated. It's been really fun to watch him, even against like older players in low A Augusta. He's able to challenge people with that sweeper slider, whatever you want to call it. He's throwing it to both sides of the plate. He's throwing against lefties and righties. He's able to get ahead really easily. When you see runs being scored against him, and that's not very common, it's literally caused by himself, and his command will get away with him, will get away from him. He'll lose that release point, and he'll just walk a couple of players and then give up a, not necessarily a barrel, but a ball that finds a hole or a gap, and that's able to drive in a run. But other than that, he's been as advertised. And with someone that had some conditioning issues to start the season, it's been incredible to see him really come to fruition, come to form, and really own that draft pick. Of course, we all thought he was going to go higher than that, but then the Braves were able to get him in the early 20s. But again, having that kind of talent in the system is always going to be a good thing. And like you said about Jeremy Reyes, the biggest flag for me with him is the shoulder injuries. It's always been shoulder and pitcher shoulder. It's those two words you never want to be intertwined with one another. And unfortunately for him, it has gotten in the way. The velocity is way up. He is still sitting 96, 97. So that has eased some concerns, but it's hard to get someone, especially his age, that young. It's hard to get those concerns out of your mind, because you shouldn't have those kind of shoulders injuries that early. So hopefully that's something the Braves are able to overcome, and Jeremy's able to really come back full throttle next year. Matt, those are some really big names. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
No, I mean, I think Caminiti at this point, with what he's shown through his seven starts, if he was healthy at the start of the year and pitching, I think at this point he would have been up in Rome by now. The fact he's only made seven starts, but he's been excellent in six of the seven, the only one being that second start against that talented Charleston lineup. He just had no command and left the game after what? Two slightly after two innings because of the heat. But he hasn't walked more than two in an outing yet in his first full year, which is even more impressive because he should have been in this current year's draft class as a high schooler. He had reclassified into last year's class. So he was actually a year younger than what most people are. Obviously, the second arm is clearly. Also going to be Raven, who surprise breakout. I mean, the way he's kept the ball down last year and added the strikeouts to the mix this year, because he really just did not miss bats heading into this year, but he's been extremely consistent. And if it wasn't for that one recent start where he got knocked around, his overall season line would look that much better than it already looks, and it still already looks great. Bagwell has looked good, although it's a very small sample size. Has not really missed many bats, but we're talking about what, 23 innings or something like that. Then you have obviously Reyes and another guy who was a little bit off the list, Luis Urestiguetta, is even a fifth arm worth watching in that rotation. So they're. It's tons of options, but yeah, Caminiti and Raven Antonio are clearly the best.
That brings us to the position players for the Augusta Green Jackets. And Matt, I'm going to go back to you. We're talking about a roster with players like John Heel, Juan Mateo, Owen Carey, Isaiah Drake, Luis Guanipa, Eric Hartman. Even Douglas Gallant has seen real step has taken a real step forward this year under Garrett Wilkinson and the Augusta Green Jackets. Let's first add in the caveat that a lot of these players are working on something on a game in and game out basis, right? This is not something where you're looking at trying to look for Gaudi numbers. You're looking for approach. You're looking for progression. Matt, who from the Augusta Green Jackets, and you don't have to stick to one, who's really impressed you the most, and who you're looking forward to watching them develop going into next year?
I'd have to say Isaiah Drake. He
I like
came
that.
in super toolsy, super raw. Really just never got going last year because of health. And when he did play, his numbers were not great. But he seems to have made real adjustments. I mean, for a guy that you questioned, the biggest question was the hit tool. For him to be posting a 342 on base, yeah, the slugging is only 365, but there's more power in there. And I don't think that that's the main focus for him right now. I think the main focus for him is just to make contact, good contact, and get on base. So at this point, he's doing that. And as he's still only 19, so there's still plenty of time for the power to come. Obviously, Heel has shown that on base ability, 40 walks versus 41 strikeouts as a 19-year-old. That's also impressive. Guanipa, another injury-plagued year, but he seems to really be getting going recently, over the last was week or two at this point. Owen Carey has surprised. He has been much better than I expected, even if his last 2 months haven't quite lived up to the first 2 months. Hartman has lived up to the overslot signing. Glaude has shown more this year than he has in recent years. Colby Jones has shown an ability to get on base and steal bases. Just no power there. And I think even though it's an ugly year stat-wise for Nick Montgomery, he has at least shown flashes, especially in the last week, where he might be starting to put a little bit together. So there's obviously something to work with because that big power is definitely there.
Some really, really promising names. And like you, I think the one that's impressed me the most have been Isaiah Drake because he was such a huge wild card. You didn't know what you were going to get from him. And to see him put together a season like this where the hit tool has really been shining, his approach has been fan like I did not expect him to be this advanced in his ability to come to, this kind of approach at this young of an age for someone that was that tool being raw. I think I've been the most impressed with him. Eric Hartman's versatility. He's played second. He's played center. He's showing off good speed. I think he's got 30 something stolen bases. You brought up Colby Jones and his ability to get on base and steal. I think he's sitting over 60 steals himself. It's been a very intriguing offensive year for the Augusta Green Jackets. And while, again, the OPS numbers or the specific numbers you look at haven't been overwhelming for really anybody, I think you've seen a lot of progression in a lot of those players. And a lot of those players were really raw when the Braves drafted them. Definitely wasn't expecting, like you said, what Owen Carey really did at the beginning of the year and what he's kind of, how his season's gone along has also impressed me. There's just been a lot. And the three of us, I know, have been extremely vocal about what Garrett Wilkinson's doing over in Augusta. Apparently, you need more people named Garrett in this organization because they're all doing really good things. So, Garrett, let's hear from you. Who has impressed you on that Augusta Green Jackets roster and why?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Isaiah Drake. Obviously, last year we started to see the approach improvements. They really sat down beginning of the year. He struggled, and they said, "We need you to really work on the approach." They did that. They've been making swing changes to get him, not falling away, really trying to pull the ball in the air. At the beginning of the year, most of his hard contact is still center field, opposite field gap, but he's getting a lot more pull side power. The raw power numbers, it's the 105 isolated power. It's not great in terms of the raw numbers, but that's still, it's above league median. He's still only 19 years old, and SRP Park is a little bit tougher on lefties than on righties. So overall this season, average-ish to above average contact rates, great approach, above average contact for the league. I just, and he's an elite defender in the outfield. If you watch him, he makes spectacular plays consistently, and he just can go track down fly balls in the outfield. They've been playing him a lot in left field because I think they feel like Carey and Hartman really are the guys that need the work out there because Isaiah Drake is an MLB center fielder defensively right now. It's fantastic. His instincts, his speed, his jumps out there. He's a fantastic center fielder. I think kind of thinking on my own list, maybe I underrated him a bit, though. If you he does have an advantage over the other two, you know, they're kind of the same age, but he does have an extra season of professional baseball, so that kind of impacts your view on his numbers a little bit. But the progression he's made, we've always known that he's a really high makeup guy, and the Braves really targeted him. That was one of the reasons the Braves targeted him, and we're seeing that play out because he's put in a lot of effort to improve. I've been really impressed with him. I like Hartman a lot. I love the approach to the plate. Really good plate discipline. Really is looking to tap into his power. He's hitting the ball hard in the air on his pull side. That's, dude, again, you don't see that very often with these young players. Usually that's one of the steps that they really have to take. Now, he's not getting quite as many fly balls as you would hope, but he's really doing a good job of maximizing his talent. The swing and miss numbers right now are not great. That's really the big question mark for him, is he going to hit enough? But I do think that I'm a big fan of him. Owen Carey, the walk rates are low. That's the biggest red flag for him. I don't think that he's going to, I think he's maybe going to be a fringe average power guy who can play center field decently. The walk numbers are a little bit of a concern, but I think that if you watch his at bats, he's a really tough out, makes a lot of contact. And the way I view him is he doesn't get beat by spin. He expands the zone a little bit more than you like to see, but I think that he's one of those guys where his eye is at this level, umpires are lenient because otherwise there would be 15 walks a game and no one would want to watch it. So umpires expand the zone a little bit. He kind of has to expand the zone a little bit. I think that his plate discipline and I think that his strike zone recognition is better than than the walk numbers say at this point in time. He's another high makeup guy, a guy that I think is going to improve and get to be, you know, an above average, maybe even a plus on base guy with solid power. And it's a profile that we're all big fans of. Gwanepa, unfortunately, just hasn't been on the field enough for me to draw a ton of conclusions. Huge increase in his contact rate this year. He's hitting the ball, seems to be hitting the ball harder, hitting the ball in the air more often. The swing hasn't made as many improvements as I had hoped, but again, he hasn't been on the field. That's really the big issue for him. He got hurt after what, the third game this season. So it's really tough for him. I've been impressed with his progress this year. Contact, great approach. The power hasn't come into games yet, but you're seeing him start to lift the ball a little bit more, start to hit fewer of those topped ground balls over to the pull side. You're seeing more line drives, a few more fly balls. It's coming for him. It's just his progression is ahead of his numbers at this point, and I think next year may be his opportunity to break out. I still think, even though his numbers are a little bit rough, he deserves to go up to high A. I think the approach and the contact is at that level, and it's just going to take time. I've been impressed with his defense. He's been a lot more consistent in the field. He has the speed to make any play at shortstop. I think he's going to stick at the position. I've been impressed with him. I was really hoping for a breakout from him this year, but I think that next year could be potentially where we see it, because we're starting to see some of the swing decisions and some of the swing changes pay off for him. And it's going to take a little bit of time with him because there's so much that they have to do in terms of basically completely altering his contact profile and his swing plane. But he's a guy that I think could grow and add a little bit of strength and really be a guy the power is going to be a question for him, but the way that he makes contact, I think he's a guy that could fit as a kind of top of the order bat who plays really good defense at shortstop. Risky player, but I've been impressed by his progress this year.
Yeah, the contact and the speed make Heal really intriguing in that shortstop position. That's someone that could have some loud tools, and he's someone that like the two of you have talked about. Someone I'll be really monitoring next year. That sums up full season ball, and let's just take a few minutes to really talk. When you get down to the FCL and the Dominican Summer League, we don't have access to that much data. People aren't willing to talk as much because they're often working on something very specific. So let's go from you first. The FCL Braves finished, let's just be honest, they finished dead last in the FCL South. They were 21 and 37. A lot of the players that we hoped were going to perform better didn't. We're talking about Jose Perdomo, who struggled throughout the entire season. Although he did last, he was healthy the full season, which was promising. Last year, he had issues with the hamstring. Always a risk for someone that young to have hamstring issues, but it was encouraging to see him play the full season without any massive injuries. There's still talent out there. Jose, of course, has the pedigree. Manuel Dos Passos with the very intriguing year for himself, the catcher with surprisingly good speed. Garrett, I want to hear who stuck out to you the most in a positive way on that FCL roster. Who are some players that you're really going to be watching closely next year?
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed in what we saw from Perdomo this year. It just there's really nothing that he did that really stood out, and that's kind of a problem. I'm glad he stayed healthy, but I needed to see more from him, and it just hasn't been great. I'm impressed with what Mateo has done in terms of his approach and his contact. Looking at him at Augusta right now, he has a lot of room still to add weight. They've already seemed to be content to move him over to third base, so there's no reason for him to not add weight. I actually like the way he swings. I think his swing is nice. I think there's power in terms of the way he swings the bat, and he's got decent enough bat speed. It's just going to be about adding strength for him. Michael Martinez, tons of extra base hits. It's kind of hard. You don't know a lot about these guys at this point. It's kind of really hard. Mario Baez is the guy that you look at. He had a really tough season last year, but he has more walks than strikeouts this year. We haven't seen the impact just yet. Hopefully that will start to come, but he's really running a, you know, he's about a, he's a little bit below league average as a hitter, was a little bit below league average as a hitter, despite running only a .242 batting average on balls in play. So that's a guy that I think that he's better than the numbers have said this year. Really improved his approach and his swing decisions. That's a good sign for him for a player that's still 18. Hopefully he gets a chance at A-ball next year and we can get a little bit more data on him. Would it be cheating to talk about Owen Murphy, who came back from injury, played one game and was dominant? Hey, Owen Murphy's the most impressive player on that roster. If that counts, then we're going with Owen Murphy. But I'm glad that he's back healthy. Another guy, Cayman Good, had a few starts, was a 13th round pick, I believe, last year. Really, really high spin rates. Doesn't seem like the velocity has quite developed yet. That's, you know, the reports we've gotten, the velocity hasn't taken a step forward. That's really the big question mark for him. Didn't have great command, but he had a few starts there where he looked good. It seems like hitters don't hit him very well. It wasn't a lot of hard contact against him. So Good's a guy that I'm keeping my eye on. I was hoping to see him at full season ball this year, but you know, he was a guy that in the prep ranks was, you know, RPM, you know, spin rates over 3,000 on his breaking balls. So that's impressive. It's kind of going to just be how much does that velocity improve moving forward and how much does the command improve moving forward. But he's going to be a guy I watch. I assume he's going to get a chance in Augusta next year, so I'm going to be watching him.
Just to quickly go back to Augusta, our discussion on Augusta, Eric Hartman led off the bottom of the first inning with a single through the second base hole. He stole second for his 31st stolen base. He stole third for his 32nd stolen base, and then came home on a ground out to the first baseman. So just adding on to why he's so highly rated amongst us. We see a lot out of what he can do and projection. But going back to the FCL, Matt, let's hear from you. I know you're really in this scene right here. What can you tell us about who's impressed you the most over in the Florida Complex League?
Cheating a little, but obviously Owen Murphy. I don't know where else to consider him since
Come
he's
on.
made one appearance and it's in the FCL. That was just dominant. Hard to really say anything about that other than that, since it's one start, so you can't really, and he was doing it against FCL competition, but it's got to be him. Probably the next most impressive guy on the roster would be, including what he did in the DSL, Michael Martinez. The fact he really did not have a good year last year in the DSL, but this year, 1084 OPS down in the DSL, 783 in the 11 games in the FCL, so 966 with 5 home runs and 17 total extra base hits. So he's been very impressive. Don't know a ton about him other than he has hit the ball hard. Juan Mateo has looked good on base. He's obviously still, as Garrett said, going to put a bunch of weight on to add some more power, but probably also work on the base running a little bit. I mean, he's got some speed, but that stolen base rate, I think he's down in the FCL, 10 for 17, 10 for 17 is not going to cut it stealing bases. So he's going to have to improve there. But there's stuff to work with. And to put up that 852 on base over 210 plate appearances as an 18-year-old in the FCL, that's all you can ask for there. Kamen Good has also looked good. Was an overslot pitcher last year, obviously. Oh, not a huge sample size, 35 innings. Hasn't really missed a ton of bats, just a 6.4 K per nine. Has walked 16 in that 35 innings, so has walked it. But he was considered a talented but raw prep arm, so not too surprising. Catcher Manuel Dos Passos, I've heard good things about him defensively, and he has also put up a 361 OBP this year. Then obviously the other guy that has to be talked about is Perdomo, who started off the year solid, then ended up getting so cold that his OPS dropped under 500, which for a guy who is billed as an advanced hitter, that's not good. 544 is what he ended up with for the OPS. Just one home run, eight extra base hits, and 233 plate appearances, 14 walks to 45 strikeouts. I mean, this guy's biggest tool was the hit tool, the advanced hit tool. He should hit for average and power. That hit tool has not actually played as advanced at all. Last year, I was willing to give him the pass because he just couldn't stay on the field. And although I didn't actually get to see him myself this year, the numbers really do a lot of the speaking for him. So just very down on him compared to where I was a year ago.
And kind of staying in that same realm of players that we don't have much data to, let's quickly touch on the Dominican Summer League. Right now, the Braves are sixth in their division. They're 17-22. Matt, who from, and let's play it on hard mode here. It's easy to say Diego Torrens and Roddy Reyes just because those extremely loud tools. Torrens has done extremely well in his age, what, 16, 17 season. And then Roddy Reyes has consistently sat 97, 99, which is not what I expected. I expected that velocity to go down, especially since he's pitching now multiple innings. I think his highest or his longest outing this year is 3 to 4 innings. He was still maintaining that 97 to 99. So Matt, let's hear from you first. Who are some players from the Dominican Summer League that really interested you the most? I know you already brought up Michael Martinez, but is there anyone else from that team that you'll be monitoring closely next year?
Yeah, I actually have a fairly long list of guys on that team that I've heard good things about at some point. And if you exclude Rowdy and Tornes, there's really only two other pitchers. Jency Angeles, a 17-year-old who's only thrown 22 innings to this point. But he's got a 2.45 ERA, 0.68 whip, 3.7 hits per nine. He's only struck out 6.5 per nine, but he has done a good job at preventing damage in that small sample size. I don't really know a ton about him, other than I did hear promising stuff, obviously still raw. But the other pitcher is Luis Berth Valdez, another 17-year-old, just part of this year's class, 22.1 innings himself, 26 strikeouts. He has walked 18. But he's a guy that should have quite a bit more stuff as he gets older. Hitter wise, the biggest names on the team, obviously Tornes, Michael Martinez, after he posted that 1084 OPS there, and Juan Espinal, another powerful prospect who posted an 848 OPS with four homers, nine extra base hits, 14 steals in his second year in the DSL. Looking forward to seeing him stateside next year. But among some of the other guys from this year's class, now it's important that some of these OPSs are lower than they should be because these are young kids who just don't really have the strength to drive the ball just yet. And they're typically younger than what the average pitchers in the league are. So I'm looking more at the on-base percentages than anything. But and some of them I had heard positive things about before they signed Elias Reyno, the outfielder. He posted a 400 OBP on the year, 687 OPS, 11 steals, 24 walks to 35 strikeouts. He was one of the promising guys. A couple of the infielders, Manuel Campos, 353 OPS, OBP, 653 OPS. Angel Carmona, who just came back, has already homered. He's only played six games since he just started playing this year. Yasiel Garcia has a 415 OBP with a 688 OPS. And Johan Rodriguez, who has caught some, 336 OPS. And then there's another guy who has not really had much success at the plate. He's just got a 485 OPS. But I've heard good things about Arlen Manzanillo as a defensive catcher. So those are the guys that I have for the DSL roster.
You went a lot deeper than I expected, Matt. So kudos to you, Garrett. Let's take us home. What you got for us for the DSL?
Yeah, so before the DSL, shout out to Pat Kloese, who just stole his 60th base of the season, which is insane. But yeah, Garcia, obviously, I mean, we're all really high on Torres. The reports we've gotten, I mean, I know a lot of people are going to be concerned because we got great reports on Guanipa. He hasn't been good. Got great reports on Perdomo. He hasn't been good. The reports we've been getting, what we've heard on Torres is on a different level to those guys. Like, we have heard that he is like that guy. Like, this is some of the loudest tools, one of the best players that have come through the system in a long time, at least early on. So, and the performance has matched so far. Unfortunately, he's missed a little bit of time. We're very high on him. But Garcia, I mean, 24% walk rate, 17% strikeout rate. That's really impressive, even in that league. I mean, that league, the DSL, you got to be a little concerned about the strikeout walk numbers, but he's made contact and drawn a lot of walks. That's really impressive. Espinal's been a guy that I've liked. Unfortunately, this year he really got off to a slow start, wasn't making a lot of contact, turned it around kind of all of a sudden, and was just crushing the ball. He has a ton of power. He has speed. Like, that's a guy that has super, super high upside. It's just, there's so many strikeouts there. It's really a concern, but he's cut down on it lately, which is impressive. Carmona, we're seeing, you know, good exit velocity from him. Seems like he hits the ball hard, which is impressive for a 17-year-old to be hitting the ball that hard. It's such a small sample, it's kind of hard to say what's going on there. But, you know, Carmona, Garcia, Torres, those are like the three that I'm watching from that team. And, you know, Espinal, just the strikeout rates are too high to really pay too much attention to yet. But I mean, if he can hit, that's also a great talent there.
Well, that about does it for this week's trip around the system. We appreciate you guys taking the time to listening to us ramble about Braves prospects for over an hour. Whether you're keeping tabs on future stars or just loving or just love following the next wave of Braves talent, we appreciate you riding with us here at Peach State Prospects. I speak for Garrett and Matt when I both when I when when I say that we're both looking forward to watching Cam Caminiti against Jesus Maide right after we close recording this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to stay locked in. Next week, we'll have a especially big episode as we recap our newly released mid-season top 30, and of course, any trade analysis that comes from tomorrow's trade deadline. Until next time, keep your eyes on the farm and your heart in Braves country. I thought of that earlier today. I really liked it. We'll catch you next week.